Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive. Deep divers, do I have a treat for you? June is away this week, but boy, oh boy, does this guest more than make up for it. I have Jamie Varon with us. You may know her from Instagram, at Jamie Varon. I post quotes of hers all the time, and I have been for years, which is how we actually got to know each other over the Instagram. But she is one of the most inspirational writers that I've ever read and met. If you don't know her, you're going to want to know her. She is an author, designer, a digital course creator, and creative consultant. Her first nonfiction book, Radically Content, was published April 12, 2022 with Quarto, the journal companion, which I am so excited to get. Titled Radically Content, the journal will be published spring 2023, like in April, right? What's the date, Jamie?
April 4th.
Okay,
Real soon.
And it's so beautiful. It looks like a cotton candy dream. A feature film based on Radically Content is currently in progress with Malta-based film studio Lovely Mila LTD. Her debut novel, Main Character Energy, will be published, which I believe we actually have a podcast episode of ours named that, which makes me laugh. Will be published fall 2023 with HarperCollins imprint Park Row. Jamie's writing has also been featured on Huffington Post, Fusion Complex, NTRSCTN, Medium, Thought Catalog, Good, Teen Vogue, The Library Project, and SF Weekly. Jamie, welcome to The Deep Dive, and thank you so much for being here with us.
Oh, quite a bio. I'm like exhausted for myself.
I mean, I'm so proud of you. Jamie, it's so funny. We've never met in person, but I do feel like I know you because your writing feels like what I was just trying to think of how I put it, like what your best friend slash really wise aunt slash mother you always wish you had would let you know on a hard day.
I mean,
it's a text from the beyond. That's what it feels like.
Okay. So that's what I was going to say, because it really is. I fully am just like, I think I channel this stuff because it just comes through and I don't know where it comes from. And people are like, how do you know this? Like, where does the wisdom come from? And I'm like, I'm not really sure. So I mean, I do a lot of thinking, much to my own detriment. I am quite an overthinker and I found a way to channel it.
But yeah. That is how it feels. It feels like, and also when I post your quotes, or I don't even know if I call them quotes. They're like, you know, samples of your work. I get a million DMs that day that say, God, I needed to hear this. You know, and I'm like, I didn't write it, but you're welcome. Like, I've been taking compliments on your behalf, you know, for years now. But that is how it feels like you're getting this message out there. And I want to read one. Okay. Oh, this is one that I posted just this week. It says, gentle reminder, you are not a constant self-improvement project. It's okay to not always be out of your comfort zone. It's okay to let enough be enough for a while. It's okay to stop and appreciate how far you've come. You have changed so much since this time last year. Take notice, enjoy how much you've grown. I needed that gentle reminder. So then I posted and all these other deep divers were like, I needed that gentle reminder. But I feel like this is exactly what your work is saying to me and everybody all the time, which is like, you are enough, which sounds like the biggest cliche, but in this world where we're always trying to self-improve and we could be better and bigger and capitalism and all that, you seem to be trying to tell people that you don't have to do anything to be lovable.
I completely agree. I feel like you really got the message of, I mean, I spent a lot of time being very, very, very hard on myself. So anything I write, like that really is where the wisdom comes from, is essentially I had to figure out how to like exist and like myself, because the way that I was living was just so hard on myself. And I was like, I can't let anybody else feel this way. Like, I have to talk to people. I have to say, like, we do not have to live like this. Like, this whole thing of it kind of, a lot of this started too from this idea of like, I'm my own worst enemy. It's like, why? Why have we normalized that? Why are we not our own best friend? Like, because we're scared to be our own best friend, because we think if we like ourselves, we'll become complacent and then we won't be as productive and then we won't get the value and the worth from all the external achievements. And it's this whole fear-based thing. And I'm just like, I think we got to figure out another way. And it was really interesting because I have been saying this for years, and then the pandemic happened and everyone seemed to be talking about like slowing down and maybe productivity isn't our worth. And I was like, I have some ideas for you.
You're like, I've got about 600 journals filled with this shit, guys. Yeah. Well, I had a similar feeling. Like, I went through cancer and then you emerge and you're like, okay, I know what's important, right? But then life pulls you back in. And then the pandemic happened. Everyone's like, I'm having all these realizations. I'm like, bitch, I already had that realization. Like, I didn't need to go back into this, you know, hellhole traumascape to learn that. But I do feel like we have to be constantly reminded, because our natural state is to like beat the shit out of each other and ourselves. And I don't know why that is. If it's American, I don't think so. But maybe it is. I mean, the French seem to be doing it better. I don't know. They're eating more bread.
They're definitely eating more bread. I mean, no, I know they might be figuring it out a lot better than us. I do think it is, well, you said it, like the capitalism piece of this. I mean, it sounds a little, the conspiracy, the capital. It's like, but we're products. Like, we've become labor, like, and we weren't supposed to be labor in this way. And so we're constantly feeling like we're measuring ourselves against things that we shouldn't be measuring ourselves against. So that's the problem, is we're just supposed to be like, we're not supposed to have emotions, because emotions get in the way of our productivity. And if you want to meditate, you should meditate to be more productive. And if you want to journal, you should journal so you could be more productive. And then you should do this to be more productive. And it's like, it's just productive, productive, productive. And it's like, when do we live? Like, that's been, I've felt that for a long time, where I feel like I graduated college and got thrust into the recession. Like, I graduated and then it was the recession. So I was like, wait, this is a joke. You told me to go to college. Now I can't get a job. And I really was just up against, I've always been so rebellious that I just look at everything and I go, is this how it should be? Like, is this what we're normalizing? Like, we just think it's normal to not ever have any free time for ourselves, no self-reflection, no emotional, you know, no mental health, nothing. And actually to like really exist in the way we're supposed to exist, quote unquote, it's like cut off your emotion, cut off your needs, cut off any of those inconvenient things. Like, I don't know, maybe you want some comfort in your life. Oh God, you know, that's too much of a luxury. You know, all these things that I'm like, I just don't see it that way. And, you know, you brought up the French, and I don't think they're perfect, of course, but I have spent a considerable amount of time in Europe, and they definitely, for the most part, they don't live to work. Like, they work to live.
They don't. Spain is the same. I mean, again, I'm sure they were like, why are Americans so obsessed with us? Like,
because we want to be you.
Because we do, because we're trapped. You know, we are trapped on this hamster wheel and we're washing our hair every day. And that's a mistake. what's yeah. one of many mistakes we're making. But right. I mean, I'm thinking back to, and June says this a lot. She's gonna be really pissed she wasn't a part of this interview, but oh, honor, you snooze, you lose. she always says like capitalism will make us sick, especially as women. It's like, we don't fit in this world, in this capitalist world. It's not for us. It's never been for us. And when I think about the entertainment industry and when I was running my own show and how I was working 15 hours a day. And now, honestly, I was so grateful to have this opportunity, but my body was breaking down and it eventually made me sick and it almost killed me. And I had to survive, go like, okay, I can't do that anymore. And I remember when they were thinking about striking, when Yahtzee was thinking about striking for these conditions, I was like, oh, thank God. Maybe now we'll get it that like you need to have a life as well as your job, or else you're not a good artist, but also like you may not stay alive.
Well, okay. So that I feel like was something we really normalized up until 2020. And then it's kind of creeping back in.
It is.
I feel
like, it'll creep right back, honey.
Oh, it creeps so easily. You're like, oh, this is my conditioning going, huh? Okay, great. Yeah. I see what's happening. Like, how do I get out? How do I get out of this thought process? Because
yes,
it really is very, very normalized to like sacrifice your mental and physical health for achievement. Like that to me is why I do all of the work that I do, because I'm like, no, it's not. I don't think we should accept that. I really don't. And that's why I think my work resonates with people so much, because it's sort of confronting, because it's really different than what a lot is out there, where it's basically just like continuously shoving this idea of like all your worth, all your value is in how you present to the world. And for me, I'm like, I don't care at all how my life looks to other people. I care how it feels to me, because I'm the one that has to live it. Like if I'm not healthy, mind, body, soul, I don't think it's success. Like that to me is like, that's not my definition of success. And so there's certain things that I have to say no to, or I don't do, because I'm like, it's just not worth sacrificing my health for. And I think it's ludicrous that that's a sort of like fringe way of going about life.
Well, it's interesting because your book, the title Radically Content, is such a good title, because it's like, wow, that's a radical notion mm-hmm. that we can be content and happy with what we have, that we don't need anything else. We don't need, you know, a bigger house or tomorrow or the future to wait to be happy. That's a huge thing that I struggle with, you know, and I used to do that. I'd be like, don't worry, I'm just going to get through this 3 months of shooting and then I'll be happy. And I remember when Lennon said, like, after our second, our first series got canceled, when Betty White's prank show for elderly people off their rockers kicked us off the air.
Humbling.
That's right. And we'd spent, you know, a couple nights in the emergency room, both of us, like, because we were so exhausted. But I remember her being like, I'm going to have a baby. And I was like, what? No, this is where we double down. This is where we sacrifice more of ourselves. I was like angry with her. It's so embarrassing to admit this. She was like, oh, no. This has shown me like I need to live. I'm not putting off my life anymore. And so she did. And then, of course, I was like, well, I mean, I guess I'll go do it, too, because I don't want to do it alone. And then, of course, like was the biggest happiness of our lives. And it made us realize what was important, you know?
Yeah, I completely hear you. I mean, I suffer from the grass is greener syndrome so hard, you know, and I have had to really pull myself back in, because especially, you know, you're listing off all these things that I'm doing. It's very easy to get caught up in, oh, once these things happen and then the bigger things happen,
right,
I'll be happy. And it's not, you know, when I wrote Radically Content, the intent wasn't to write something that says, you know, I don't talk about, oh, just be content and never do anything ever again. Right. It's really the marriage between being content in the day-to-day, being in your life while you have it, but also if you want ambition, if you want to do certain things, do it, but also know how to hold yourself through it. Know how to make sure that you're not overdoing it to try to prove something or delaying your happiness so much that I just don't think those big moments, the payoff isn't there. Like if you've delayed your happiness for that award or that publication date or when the show, because like, okay, take the show for example. Like, okay, when it's out of pilot season, okay, when it gets picked up, but then it has to get picked up for season two, then season three, then, and you're just delaying. There's so many ways to delay. And for me, I just looked at the whole landscape of that kind of creative career because I want to do all the things. I really want to do all the things, but I was like, I can't wait any longer. So I have to figure out a way to just love my life in the moment, feel that it's enough. And then from that place of feeling very satisfied, what do I want to do? Like, what sounds fun? What lights me up? What's the next challenge? What's the thing, you know, what's something that I'll do even when I'm uncomfortable doing it? And I have to get better at it and all of that. To me, I'm like, that feels like it's coming from a real place versus I got to prove something to the world and I got to show and I got to like, if I don't make this happen, like I always think of like the American Idol effect when people are so intense of, you know, they'll be like, if I can't do music, I'll never be happy. And then they like can't even sing in tune. And you're like, babe,
that's tough.
We got some other things we got to figure out here, you know? And I never, like, I never want all my happiness. I think people think that intensity creates, like, if they have enough friction, like if kind of like how people think if they hate themselves enough, they'll change. And you don't realize that, like, actually you change when you love yourself enough to do it. And you do more when you love yourself enough to want to progress versus always fighting upstream with yourself. And that was such a big thing because I had such self-hatred, such self-loathing. And I thought, if I get if one of my posts goes viral, then I'll feel good enough. And if I get this many followers, and I was just looking back on my career, I, you know, got into my 30s and I'm looking back on my career going, so when's it going to like click in? Like, how many more things do I have to collect? How much more evidence do I need before it clicks in and I get to go, oh, I like myself now. And it just doesn't click in. Like, you have to do it for yourself.
Ever. Clicks.
Yeah. And you know, if you're in the entertainment business, you know, you're talking to people who have hit every milestone. I have friends in the business too, every milestone. And if you haven't done the inner work, doesn't matter how many milestones you hit. It's actually really lonely because you go, I'm supposed to be happy right now. People expect me to be happy. And it didn't do what I thought it was going to do.
Right. Yeah. And then you're like, well, shit, I've wasted all this time. And it was a lot of hours on set for
what? That's why I say the payoff isn't worth it. Like, if you're looking at your time as like, you want to get a return on your investment of time. And if your investment is your constant suffering and stress, I don't think it returns.
Oh my God, Jamie, you're not an, I'm looking at your skin and it's like peaches and cream. You have not lived many years on this planet. You haven't.
I'm almost 38.
That's so young. And to have this much insight is crazy. But I want to.
Because I was in pain for like 20 years of my life. It speeds things up.
Yes. And I do think this is the kind of thing where like you can't, I don't want to listen to this type of advice. From so, like, I always say, I don't like sitting now that I've been through stuff. I don't want to sit next to somebody who's had a charmed existence because they're boring and they also don't know the secret of life. you know, I might have peeked in on it, but it doesn't mean I practice it or perfectly or at all a lot of the days. But I do want to know that you've like seen that cliff, you know, that you've at least been to the edge. Right. That was something that I loved the most about talking to June. You know, she summoned me in the middle of treatment to her office, which was the Four Seasons lobby where she would do most of her work, ordering nothing but sparkling water and taking up a table that seated like 15 nice. For hours on end. But I remember saying to her, like, have you ever been up at that cliff and looked down and not known which way this is going to go? Like, have you ever been there? Because June, you know, she's so together. She's so confident and strong. She was like, yeah, I have. And just hearing that she had and that she was no longer standing over that cliff gave me such hope in that moment, you know?
Yeah, I feel like the Charmed Life people all just need to hang out together.
I don't even think that's real, too.
No, like, I don't
life
either.
Is coming to you. It will come to you. You have a great quote about that. At some point, you decide. You decide that this is where you are rooted. You make the decision to be happy right where you are. You don't let go of your dreams, but you let yourself make new dreams. You expand your dreams. You decide that this is where you plant. This is where you take root. This is where you will bloom. You don't wait for it all to be perfect. You construct the life that feels beautiful and wonderful and generative right where you are. You get to decide that. You look around and pause to feel gratitude for what you've already created. You let in simple joys, easy pleasures. You take up a hobby. You stop forcing so much. You let go of control. You look at raw materials of your life and you go, I can make something extraordinary with this. And you start to build right from where you're planted. You don't wait for it all to line up. You line it all up yourself, brick by brick. I mean, come on, man. This is pickleball. Not that anybody wants us to talk more about that, but you know, this is like finding the silliness in getting your nails done or dressing up and coming to a pickleball tournament or playing with your friends on a Sunday, a game that is so stupid that like two people who were probably high in Michigan created it with a bunch of ping pong paddles. Like, pick your thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think pre-pandemic, I would have done that every week with a bunch of friends. I don't think we would have understood how lucky we are just to like get to see somebody's face and touch their skin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know. And that's, and it's really, it's a mindset because you can have, and that's something I really like to tell people is like, you can have the exact same life that you have now. But if you start noticing what you have, it changes. Like it changes completely. How you react to things, how you, and that's not to say don't change your circumstances, but it's really about having the wisdom to know when you need to change something or when you need to like heal something because you're not seeing it in like it's like trauma and conditioning and all of this capitalism, patriarchy, it's the wrong filter. We don't have the right, like it, we can just change the filter. People think we get it wrong. Like we think that we need to change the circumstances. So we need a new life. We need a new thing. We need this. And it's like, you can actually just change the filter in which you see your own life. And it changes everything completely. Like, you know, we talk a lot about gratitude and some, mm-hmm. I think it gets to be a little cliche a lot of times, right. Like, all right, we get it. Gratitude journal, whatever. But really when you start being thankful for the things that are in your life, it really does multiply the things to be thankful for, because what you focus on is where it grows. And
that's right. Yeah.
You know, it's some of these things are cliche for a reason because, and I had to deal with that because I used to be so like pessimistic and really cynical. And I'm I'm edgy, you know, like I really used to lean into the edginess.
Sure.
Then I was like, cool, totally not happy. So how's that going for me? Like, oh, I'm real edgy, you know? But it's like, then I started to recognize that I had to do certain things to Like I had to train my mind to be like, oh, you know, I was actually just telling a friend that during the pandemic, especially, I started going on walks outside. Like that was not really a big part of my life. And I was just outside in Calabasas where I live. And I was like, trees are like amazing.
It's like you were on mushrooms.
Yeah, I was.
But like, you weren't. You were just walking around and noticing things for the first time.
And just being like, we just live with trees all the time. Like these are so cool. And it was silly, but then it kind of like started to, you know, infiltrate the rest of my life where I was like, maybe I can just delight in simple things. And then the big things, I don't have to store up and wait for the big moments to come. Like, I think I just used to do that all the time. I was like, this isn't big enough. But then when the big moments come, you can enjoy those even more because you've already like have the practice of delighting in the smaller things.
Yeah. So what I was going to ask is like, if somebody is thinking, this sounds great, Jamie, I'd love to live like this. I'd love to embrace the beauty of trees. how do you do it though? Is it like that thing where you can change, you know, I listen to God knows how many life coaches who say, you know, your thoughts create your feelings that create your actions, right? So you can swap out a thought, you know, but that's easier said. Do you believe that? Or does that sound like toxic positivity? How would you go about, you know, doing that?
I think it's a little toxic positivity because I think there's some steps in between where, I mean, sometimes our thoughts are there for a reason. Like we have fear responses for a reason. We have to, I'm a big believer in, we got to get to the root of our shit. You know, we can't just slap a bow on it. Everything happens for a reason and get out the door and put a smile on. And it's like, well, actually like my sadness is as important. Like to me, it's not about feeling only the good things, like, or what are even the good things? I sometimes love to indulge my sadness. Like, let me get into it. Let me get a good, sometimes I put on something just to cry and I'm like, I want to feel it and I want to feel it all. And so, I'm not a big, like, I do think we can change our thoughts, but I definitely do not think it's as easy as people think. It's the same way like manifestation is really simplified down because it's like, we need to get to the root. Otherwise that's going to just keep coming up. Like it's kind of, it's essentially like, are you going to repair the boat or are you just going to like stick something in the hole and hope that it holds and then just keep sticking it there and going back to it? It's like, or you could pull over, repair what's going on, look at what the issue is, and then you might actually be able to be free of this eventually. And, you know, I think that's what our culture loves to do is kind of like slap a easy, skip quick a fix. Yeah. Skip a lot step. Of steps
and a lot just of steps
because it's more about like, just look like you're having a good time. Just look like you're okay. Instead of how are you actually, you know? I mean, even the way that we define success, especially as it comes, as it relates to like celebrities, we're like, as long as they look happy, it's like, they could be acting. We don't know anything about how they are. And so we kind of like perceive success as that way. But for me, the way that I've looked at it, I'm like, I don't consider someone successful unless they're able to be emotionally present and unless they're actually enjoying the fruits of their labor. You know, as something I used to walk in Malibu all the time. And I'm like, why is no one out on these balconies?
Nobody's ever out. You're never going to see them.
They're never out on the balconies.
Never going to see them. But listen, Instagram has done us a terrible disservice in that way, right? Okay, that's the most cliched thing that you could say. But it's also done a wonderful thing when it brings somebody like your words to people that need to hear it.
Because that's why I do it. I'm like, let me interrupt the usual. Let me interrupt this moment for you. And I've had people tell me it's like the greatest compliment. They're like, I see your post and then I'm out. Like, I'm done scrolling. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, because you're saying like, go outside and take a deep breath. You're doing just fine. Why don't you take a load off? Crack open a Better Homes and Gardens magazine. Okay. That's my guilty pleasure. Chill out. Go throw a ball with your daughter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like have the simple and have the big if you want it.
Have the simple.
But at least have the simple. Like it's it can't just be all the big moments because they're so few and far between. They're fleeting. And maybe that's okay. You know, we don't need them to be heightened all the time.
Right.
But I've noticed, because I try to like study people and observe, I'm like, who's really doing it? You know, like who's, right? Like,
I know in my life who's doing it.
I think we, as people, always get plagued by that pursuit of more. And social media has done absolutely nothing to alleviate that.
Well, this is why I fear for like the youngers, because at least like you're younger. So when you were in college, did social media exist? Did Instagram exist?
No.
Okay. So you were in your 20s when it started?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you lived at least, I mean, I think that it's a very human instinct to compare, right? I remember being like, Dawn Verschilling is having a party. I wasn't invited, you know, but you wouldn't find out till Monday. It wasn't happening in real time in front of you. But I do hope, do you think possibly, Jamie, that we might be as a culture going to make a shift away from that? Do you think we might be, the pandemic might push us in that better direction? Is it possible?
I already think it's happening. I mean, if I look at, I think there's a lot to not love about TikTok, but there's a lot to love there where it is not as polished as Instagram, and the things that people, especially like in their 20s and teens, the things that I see pop up, I'm like, that is honest. That is real honest. Like, I appreciate that.
Right.
And so I do think there's going to be some sort of bubble burst with this, because I think we're going to enter some sort of age of authenticity. And I think I don't know that, like, it's kind of like we keep getting fed what people think we want, but actually what we really need is just something real. Like, we really need some real shit to start coming through from different voices, different people. And we need to figure out how we can value that enough that things change, because I think we're really missing connection. Because when people are performing their life, we're like not getting, I don't want to see that. I want to see.
Just makes you feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want to see that corner of your living room that's perfectly curated, because my house looks like somebody has ransacked it. Like I've been robbed. Like you came home, you'd be like, oh my God, they've been here. No, I've been here.
Yeah.
And the truth is I work at too fast a speed to like slow down and do the dishes. Doing the dishes is an act of self-love, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, well, I'm too busy creating things to do the dish. It's like, no, you can stop and do the dishes.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's good to do for yourself, you know?
I know. I always have to frame it that way, because I feel like our responsibilities just pile up.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, the hard part about all of this is that you really have to do the things you need more than the things you want to do all the time. I think that's hard, because I do think that social media is very, it seems like everyone's having a great time, you know,
yeah.
And you're just like, but I'm not all the time. I have to do annoying things. And like,
right.
How do I not feel this like lit up all the time about every single thing? And, you know, I think that that's why there's a lot of people trying for the quick fixes, Like I'm obsessed with a quick fix, but it has never fixed a single thing for me.
No,
it's like never done it.
Dan keeps saying like, it's sometimes I think you're going to be a cult leader, but I realize, no, you're going to follow the cult and you'll be the first one to drink something that will eventually kill you. Because I'm like, here's the system. This is it. This is what's going to fix it. Instead of going like, it's okay. Who I am right now, this messy kitchen is a sign of a life that's being lived. It's not something that has to be fixed. I'm like, oh, the weekend's coming. I better spend 4 hours clean. What? Okay. Maybe just fold, like my ADHD coach is always like, maybe just fold 5 pieces of laundry. Maybe just do that.
We want the fix. And the crazy thing about that I always have to remind myself, because one thing I'll say about all my posts, they're just reminders to myself. So if anyone thinks that I've got it all, got it all figured out. I'm not a guru. But I have to tell myself that like, I don't want the fix because I want to feel it all and I want to experience it all, or I'll get obsessed with like, I can't be in uncertainty. I need to know if it's all going to work out. And then I go, wait, I want to be surprised in my life. Like, I don't really want all the control, because actually in the past, I think we all have instances where when we let go of the control, it kind of turned out better than we could have ever imagined.
Always. And
yeah, but then when I'm in the moment, I'm like, no, I need to know. Like right now, my struggle is like, there's a lot of things in the cooker. Like there's a lot of things going on that I don't know how they're going to pan out.
And they all not pan out, or they might all work out, or the one that you think should work out might not work out, but the one you don't think should.
Right. And I have to take myself, I start future tripping, and then I have to just breathe and tell myself it's all going to work out. Like, and the thing that I've really had to be humbled by is like, I actually don't know what's going to make me happy. So like, I think, oh my God, my book needs to be like a number one New York Times bestselling book. And it's like, how do I know? I mean, I don't know if that's going to suddenly make me, I don't actually think that will. Like, I don't think any kind of achievement like that will.
We know that it won't.
Yeah.
We know.
We actually know. Yeah.
We do know. Not even I don't think. We know. It won't matter. Because the next minute, that hedonistic treadmill, you're like, the next minute, you're like, well, I have that thing. What's the next thing?
Exactly. And I think my challenge has been, and I'm sure you think about this too, is that's all true. And yet I still want to do things, you know, like I still want to create things. Yes. I still want to be able to write the next novel and work on the next thing. And I want that movie about Radically Content to be made, and I want it to all, and I want to experience all of that. But how do I do that without right now, while a lot is in progress, what am I going to do? Sit here and be anxious about it all the time? Try to figure it out? Try to be certain about it?
Like I used to, when I was, I remember when I was acting, one of those directors came over and goes, you're Lennying this to death. And I go, what do you mean? Like in Mice and Men, where Lenny's squeezing the mice or the rabbits, I forget which, but he loves them so hard he squeezes them to death. And that's what I was doing with my performance. Like I was like, I'm gonna do this right. And he's like, you gotta let go.
Right. Like I'm gonna publish a novel. I'm not getting chased by a bear, brain. Like fucking know the difference.
Chill out, man. Chill. So tell me about the book. What is the experience of reading the book as opposed to getting your beautiful wisdom via Instagram, which is the only way I've gotten it so far?
So Radically Content is different because it's not a book of my posts, like my small posts. Mm-hmm. It is essentially like it's half memoir, half like all the things that I've learned along the way. So it's broken up in two sections. There's like a unlearn part and then there's a learn part. So it's very gentle. It's like, maybe think of these things differently in part one. Uh-huh. And it's through my experience because I didn't really want to write a typical self-help book where I'm like, I'm on the mountaintop. telling you how to live. I want it to be like face to face. It feels, people have told me that it feels like sitting down to coffee with like your
kindest friend. Yes, that's exactly, well, that's what it, to read you in short bites feels that way. So
yeah. And I was really honest. I mean, talk about vulnerable. When I recorded the audiobook, I was like, why did I write all of this? You know, like I had to have moments with the two people that were helping me. I was just like, can I have a break? I didn't realize that I had written something this vulnerable. And I said it all. I said all the things that I, my fears, you know, and all the things. And so that's what it feels like. And then, you know, towards the end, I show you some of the ways that, you know, you can start incorporating better habits into your life in a way that someone that really went from not being able to do any of this, like I very negative, very pessimistic, complained all the time type of person. Like people don't believe me, but I'm like, well, that was my identity in my family, was the complainer. So let me tell you.
Isn't that funny? Like that was your role.
My role for like,
and now your role in life is to do the opposite.
It's wild. Like you,
but I don't think you can be who you are now without having said, like, you have to be able to be the complainer in order to also see the good. Absolutely. If you're someone who's just relentlessly positive, I'm not interested in you.
Yeah, that's something that I've always really been, you know, we need contrast. Like, actually, we need contrast so much. Like, how do we even know if we're happy if we've never experienced darkness? How do we know joy if we don't know the absence of joy? How do we know love if we don't know the absence of love? How do we know connection if we don't know loneliness? I mean, we need all of that. Like, I don't like to play favorites when it comes to emotions, because I just think we as a society especially have like done a disservice of, all we do is suppress our emotional responses, and we should, and we try to fix them. Like what you were saying with, I want to fix it. Like I'll be the cult. I'll join the cult too. Like, cause I want to fix my feelings. Like
yeah, that's, especially if there's sugar involved, like I'll eat that.
Right. Like, and if someone has certainty, I'm going to be like, yes, please.
I want it so bad.
Give it to me. But I was very surprised when I had my book come out last year, how complicated my emotions were for like the first few months after.
What was it like?
I realized that was the time that I realized you could feel a lot of things at once. Yeah. And it was, I'm so proud of myself. I can't believe I finally did this, because it was such a journey. And it was also, this doesn't feel the way that I thought it would. This definitely hasn't fixed everything.
Oh.
This didn't suddenly give me certainty or absolve me of self-doubt. You know, no matter how many good things people told me, you know, you can't always.
Or somebody, or you read something bad.
Yeah. And you just, and you think you're going to be impervious to the bad thing. And then you're like up at 3 a.m. being like, why did she say that? Like, why did she say that? You're just like, wow, okay, this is interesting. And so it was so many things at once. And I was also, what it felt like, because I had been wanting to publish a book since I was a kid. And there was like so many rejections and so many things I had to let go of my agent in order to get to this place. Like there's just, you know, a journey. And what it felt like when I finally got to get my book out was I was like at the end of the marathon and the little teeny tip of my fingertip passed the finish line and I was splat on the ground.
Yeah.
I made it, you know? I was like, oh my God, now I have to deal with all the things that I thought were going to happen for this. Cause you can't, I told myself, I know that it's not going to fix all these things, but the conditioning, once you just live life, it comes back in. And I just, it was a lot. And then I think because I was so focused on getting the book done and out, I really truly don't think that I realized people would read it.
Yeah. That's like when we had to send the press release out about like the season that I wrote, I was like, I said to Lennon, like, do you think this is a bad idea? She goes, it's too late for that now. I literally was like, do you think this is wrong to do? Because maybe people won't laugh at me anymore. She's like, well, that ship has sailed, friend. Like, we're about to release this season. But it's vulnerable. But that is
it is.
Instead of, and I know we could talk for 7 hours, and I'm June. I can hear June going like, wrap it up, Jessica. But instead of that feeling being like, oh God, I shouldn't be feeling afraid. That feeling is when it's getting good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a ripe with learning all of that time. And actually, now I look at it and I'm like, oh, that means you really went to the absolute edge.
That's my point. If you were feeling like, oh, cool, like everyone's going to think I'm so cool because I didn't share anything real, like those stupid idiots, like that's a bad book.
Yeah.
But this is why we should all go buy the book and also the journal. I cannot wait because journaling is so beautiful and wonderful. And you talk about how it's a conversation with yourself and it's a way for you to see how you've grown and, you know, all the wonderful things about yourself. But I think it can also feel very like overwhelming, even writing down on a plain piece of paper. I like to hear you in the morning tell me that you love me.
Yeah.
And that's what this journal seems like it's going to be.
It's really calming. But it also, it's not going to be stupid questions that just, you know, like the guided questions are not, they're going to actually make you think, which I think.
The one you posted was so good. Radically Content, the journal, a guide back to you. So this is one of the pages, the investigate that you can write about that morning. It says, get quiet, clear your mind. What do you actually want? Forget everyone else. Describe it in detail. And why do you want it? Give a reason for everything you desire. See, this is not a just like sit on your couch and do nothing. Okay?
Mm. Yeah.
You're probing, but in a good way.
I mean, I don't think it's worth it to just, I think we got to get really, we got to get that self-awareness. I don't think we're going to get the life and build the life that we want unless we're really honest with ourselves. So I think that's where we got to go. And so the questions are good. They're probing. They are probing.
I like it when you probe me, Jamie. on that note, thank you so much for joining us. And I can't wait. If everybody wants to go right over and start following Jamie at Jamie Varon, V-A-R-O-N, and go buy her book and her journal and let's just live our best lives. Right now, because it's happening. It's happening.
Yeah. And say hi. And thank you so much for having me on. I love you. And I'm so glad we were able to do this.
Thank you, Jamie.
This is a very special announcement from the Deep Dive Bitch Sesh Pickleball Association. On Saturday, May 13th, you are cordially invited to I'd Hit That, the Deep Dive Bitch Sesh Mother's Day Weekend Pickleball tournament. This is a gathering at the Toluca Lake Tennis Club to celebrate human moms, dog moms, non-moms, fans of moms. And we will be drinking cocktails. There will be massages. We will be playing a leisure game while holding a cocktail. And of course, we will come together in community. Deep Divers, please, tickets are so limited. This is the event of the year. If you'd like to join, I'd Hit That. Please head to janeclub.com/pickleball. I'd Hit That would not be possible without the support of our incredible sponsors. And I am thrilled. God, they're so on brand. I am thrilled to announce that we are partnering with the European Wax Center and, of course, my favorite menstrual cup, Salt, and the Jane Club to host I'd Hit That. Again, it's on Saturday, May 13th, and I hope you all will purchase your tickets ASAP. They are going to go like hotcakes, as we saw last time. We are thrilled and cannot wait to see you there, janeclub.com/pickleball.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go down.
The Deep Dive is produced by Earwolf, Jessica St. Clair, and June Diane Raphael. Our producer is Anna Cecilia, and our executive producer is Cody Fisher. Our sound engineer is Veronica Simonetti. You can listen to our full archive of episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial, use code DEEPDIVE. Special thanks to Anne Geddes for our cover art and Lennon Parham for her sweet vocals. And remember, the best way to support The Deep Dive is to rate and review.